This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We are going to continue with this bill passage, Trump, Elon for a bit. Then we're going to do some emails, of course. We're going to talk about Democrats finding new voters. Tom Homan is upset about an anti-ICE ad. Disney's still flopping. All that and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's get back to the bill. The House passed it. Wasn't good. It was okay. All right. Again, there's nothing you could say to me, nothing you can do to tell me any big bill is beautiful because they're garbage. As soon as it gets to a certain size, there's going to be a bunch of corruption and evil crap in there, and there is in this one as well. Okay, I got it. It goes to the Senate. The Senate promptly starts to make it even worse. That's pretty standard. This is not new. We were funding 60% of Biden's Green New Scam in the House. By the time the Senate got done with it and voted on it and passed it today, it's now 30% Green New Scam. Now it goes back to the House. Okay, the Senate passed it. The House passed it. Then the Senate changed it. Now it goes back to the House of Representatives. If the House of Representatives passes it and they say it's going to be tomorrow morning is going to be the vote, that's it. It goes to the president's desk for signage. I had a chance to talk to two congressmen because I kind of wanted to handicap this before I got on the air to tell you real honest information. Both congressmen I talked to told me they think it's dead on arrival tomorrow in the House of Representatives tomorrow. Let me go ahead and make sure I qualify that with this. Donald Trump is a very, very, very powerful voice, the most powerful voice by a mile in the Republican Party on the right in the United States of America. Donald Trump not only wants this thing done and passed, he has said multiple times publicly he wants it passed before Independence Day. He said it again today in a long social media post that I'm not going to read for you now. Donald Trump, his sources are better than mine. He's heard what I've heard. He knows this thing is facing some headwinds in the House, if you will. What's all that mean? I would be willing to bet, as you're listening to the sound of my voice, if you're listening here on Tuesday night, I guess it could be Wednesday and you're a podcast listener, but if you're listening to me live on Tuesday night, Tuesday evening, depending on where you're at, either Trump himself or somebody from the Trump administration is currently talking to several congressmen trying to whip votes. Now, let's discuss that really briefly here. What does that mean? Have you ever heard of that? Did you know that the whip is actually an official position? Democrats have one. Republicans have one. You have a whip. It's a very high-ranking position. It's funny that they just flat-out named a position that, but you'll take a congressman and you'll say, you're the whip. What's his job? To whip votes. His job is to whip congressmen and get their votes. Now, that doesn't always come in the form of threats or punishment. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it comes in the form of, I'm going to say bribery, but that's not always what I mean. So here's what it might look like. Let's say I'm one of those Freedom Caucus congressmen and I don't like this bill. Spends too much money. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I like Donald Trump. I can't vote for the bill. Maybe it's going to depend on the person. It's really going to depend on who, what works on who, right? You use different tactics for everybody. Maybe I'm the type of person it would be beneficial to threaten me. And, you know, everybody knows people's personality in Washington. It goes around. Maybe how it works is Donald Trump's chief of staff, maybe Trump himself, maybe makes a phone call. Says, hey, come up to the White House. I want to talk to you. Maybe I walk in the White House. That's intimidating. You walk in the White House. Maybe I walk in the Oval Office, and instead of getting greeted warmly, I get told, hey, we have $50 million ready to fund a primary challenger for you if you don't get behind this bill. So go home tonight and think about it. Do you want to keep your seat in Congress? Here's your threat. That happens a lot when it comes to whipping votes. But again, it depends on the person. If you tried that with me, even if I liked the bill, and you threatened me, I would never vote against it. I would never vote for it, ever, in a million years. You could hold a gun to my head. I don't operate in that way. You know, you've heard me how I operate when people try to tell me what to say. Anybody, doesn't matter who it is, audience, my bosses, anybody, although they don't do that at Premier, but anyone, program director, doesn't matter. Why aren't you talking about this? The best way to guarantee I will never talk about something is if you tell me to talk about it. And the best way to guarantee I will talk about something is if you tell me to stop talking about it. Guarantee. I don't operate that way. And there are a lot of people like me. I'm not unique in that. They're whipping votes as we speak for this in the House. So right now I'm telling you, they're telling me they don't think it's going to pass tomorrow morning. But a lot can change in 12 hours because there's a whole lot of whipping going on. That's enough of the bill. I do want to point this out before we get to the Elon Musk Trump public spat that apparently is going to be without end. Somebody sent this email, and I just thought it was very appropriate for our conversation we're having right now. Jesse, if we could cut the federal debt to 1990s levels overnight, what changes would we notice? Okay, so let's talk about this really quickly because it applies very much to the bill. As I've told you before, I understand Donald Trump's motivations. We discussed it already at length in this show, why he wants it done, why he wants it done now. And I get it. And honestly, I understand it. I understand it. But have you ever seen any one of those pictures? Or maybe if you're old enough, I know we have some older people who listen. If you're old enough, you remember going down to get a cheeseburger and it was 25 cents. Why isn't it 25 cents anymore? I'll tell you, in my 43 years, if Jack in the Box, I'm a big Jack in the Box person for fast food when I'm going fast food, although I try not to do that as much anymore. But Jack in the Box, if I had some money to spend when I was a kid, I wanted a meal, you could go get a value meal. That's fries, a burger, a drink, Jack in the Box. It was $1.99, $2.99. Now it's $6.99. What happened? Washington spending. Did you know that? The reason that cheeseburger isn't 25 cents at the diner anymore, now it's $25, is Washington spending. People don't make that connection. They look back at the old days and they see that prices were cheaper and they think to themselves, wow, I wonder what changed. So allow me to just make it perfectly simple for you. Washington, D.C. continues to spend vast quantities more than it takes in, vast quantities more, trillions more than it takes in. And the end result of that is your money doesn't go as far now as it used to. That's the end result. What would it look like if we could get back to federal debt levels of the 1990s, you ask? We would go back to the prices of the 1990s. Now, there are a whole host of entities, federal government, Republicans, Democrats, education system. The entities who don't want you to know that, it's a long, long, long list. But what I just said is undeniably true. Things in your life are more expensive than they used to be because of every trillion-dollar bill you don't pay attention to. That's the truth of it. The truth of it is, every time Washington, D.C. spends money we don't have, your money, your buying power goes down. Your standard of living goes down. Your life right now is way more expensive than it should be, and it's more expensive because Washington, D.C. is destroying the value of the American dollar by borrowing money in vast quantities every single year. You can think of it like a household. If I'm borrowing $200,000 a year, every single year, and I only bring in $100,000 every single year, well, what's going to happen to my vacation budget eventually? What's going to happen to my vehicle budget, my food budget, the power bill? Those vacations are going to start getting worse, aren't they? Food's going to go from something high-end like Red Lobster to Kraft Mac. That's the way it goes. Countries operate the same way. Prices aren't what they used to be because Washington, D.C. can't stop spending money. And Washington, D.C. won't stop spending money because the American taxpayer doesn't ask them to. And the American taxpayer doesn't ask them to because the American taxpayer doesn't make that connection. There. It's quite simple. Let's deal with Musk and Trump, and then I'm done with this boring bill talk. That probably is maybe the best segue in the world into, have you bought gold yet? Silver yet? Or are you what are you holding out for Washington, D.C. to cut spending? What do you think's more likely? Washington, D.C. is going to stop spending so much money or keep spending more than they take in? I'll give you a second to process that. Yeah, you need to get some gold or silver as part of your retirement. The politicians in Washington, D.C. are going to continue to destroy the value of your dollar. They will. They can't help themselves. So the only protection against that is something government can't destroy, precious metals. Precious metals have been here and had value before there ever was in America, and they will have value long after America is gone. Gold Co. is the best company around to do that for you because they make it easy and they're trustworthy. They're trustworthy. A-plus rated from the Better Business Bureau. They will get it as part of your retirement, that 401k. They'll put physical gold or silver in your hands, which is also really important. Just give them a call and let them talk you through what they do. They make it easy. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show when you should. Love, hate, death threats, all are welcome. Email the show into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We still have so much more, so let's touch on this briefly because it's just very predictable. It's awful, but it's very predictable. Donald Trump and Elon Musk are publicly throwing poop at each other again. Just to recap something we've talked about before, you may not like this, but this is human nature when it comes to men, type A men. Not every man is type A. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying you're bad or wrong if you're not type A. You are how God made you and your family made you. But type A guys, alphas is what you probably call them, although that's kind of a stupid term. But type A guys, leaders, natural born leaders, they are necessary. Most people aren't one, right? And that's obvious. Most people aren't leaders. You can only have a couple. Most people need to be followers. Guys who are used to calling the shots, walking in the room and being the most powerful, most important person in the room, they are necessary to move the world forward, countries forward, companies forward. They're critically, critically necessary. And that's a good thing. But like most good things, there are bad things that come with it. They don't work well with each other. They never have. They never will. Who do you look to when both of them walk into the room? Remember, Donald Trump has lived most of his life, pretty much his entire life, being the most powerful person in any room he walks into, even before he got in. This is before he became president. You watch it. You watch Celebrity Apprentice. Don't act like you didn't. I did. Ab and I used to watch it all the time. You have these wealthy millionaire celebrities calling him Mr. Trump. Yes, Mr. Trump. No, Mr. Trump. That's what he's used to. That's been his life. He's a type A guy. He's going to lead generally. Elon Musk is the exact same way. Elon Musk walks in a room. He's the richest, most powerful man in every room he walks into. If Elon Musk says, I would like somebody to bring me a rare cobra from South Africa, guess what? Someone will get on a plane and they'll go get that cobra and they'll bring it to Elon Musk because what Elon Musk says goes. Those guys can come together for a little while, a temporary setup, and do incredible things. Think, I'll use a basketball analogy. You know who Kobe Bryant is? God rest his soul. One of the great basketball players of all time. Los Angeles Lakers. Los Angeles Lakers wanted to win an NBA title. They brought in Shaquille O'Neal to play with Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, for his entire adult life, was the leader of every team and the best basketball player on every team he ever played on. Shaquille O'Neal, for his entire adult life, was the leader of every team and the best basketball player on every team he ever played on. Now you combine them. They won, I think, a couple titles. I don't remember exactly. They won titles, for sure. And then the whole thing blew up. Shaq had to go. For a little while, they can come together, and then there's going to be a problem. Eventually, there's going to be a problem. And this is a lesson for you and for me. Careful combining your two type A males in any kind of a dream team scenario. Whether it's work, sports, whatever it is, there's going to be a problem. Elon Musk gets angry about how evil the Democrats were, how horrible they were to the people of this country, opening up the border, spending all this money. And the two-time Obama voter, Elon Musk, decided he was going to go to war with the Democrats and campaign for Donald Trump, and he deserves all the credit in the world. He did that. He put his money where his mouth is. He spent vast quantities of money. He bought Twitter, which has been a huge deal because that's how most information is spread now, and he helped Donald Trump get into the White House. Elon Musk is famously an obsessive human being. A lot of uber successful guys, a lot of billionaires are this way. They're not always, in fact, they're not usually well-rounded people. And I don't mean that to insult them. They're going to have things that are really, really good at. And then they're going to have things they're really, really bad at. Elon Musk is an obsessive human being. He became obsessed with exposing government waste and corruption. That's why he started all that Doge stuff. Elon Musk spent, you remember this, this is right when Donald Trump got sworn in. He spent all that time combing through the government books, being mortified at all the corruption and waste he found, just mortified by it. Remember when Donald Trump gave his State of the Union? I know it wasn't a State of the Union, but it obviously was a State of the Union. And he outlined all the crazy, you know, tranny surgery stuff that we're funding. That was all Elon Musk's doing. Elon Musk and his team of super nerds got in there and exposed all this. And Elon Musk, used to running private companies, thought that, well, I found it. I brought it to you. Now, cut it. Stop it. That's how it works. That's how it's always worked for him. He bought Twitter and probably fired 80% of the staff. You're wasteful. Gone. You be gone. He was mortified by what he found in the government. He wanted it stopped. He's a man who's very much aware of debt and how debt can smash you in the end. And he wanted it stopped. Trump wants it stopped too, but maybe not as much. Donald Trump, like every other American president, Republican and Democrat, wants to do things. Presidents get elected, and all of them, except for Calvin Coolidge, they want to do things. Doing things costs money. We'll finish this up in a minute, then we'll do some emails. Let me do this. Let's do something about the pain that bothers you every day. Living with pain just sucks the life out of you. That's what it's life draining. It makes your work worse. It makes your personal relationships worse. What is it that has you wincing when you get up and off the toilet? It sucks. So you take things to mask it, or you ignore it. Well, I'll be fine, but you can't really do that. Then you end up snapping at your husband, your wife. It's horrible. What if that pain could disappear? What if every single day that pain could get turned down a little bit more and a little bit more until it was gone? That's what Relief Factor can do for you. 100% drug-free. It is a supplement that attacks the root of it. It supports your body's natural response to that inflammation. You don't need to take my word for it. In fact, you shouldn't. Try it. Take it for 3 weeks and tell me how that elbow feels, your neck, your back. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, finishing up this Trump, Musk, budget stuff, because we have other things we need to do. We need to do emails. We need to talk about credit scores. Tom Homan is mad at CNN. There's so much great stuff still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show tonight. We're even going to address Alligator Alcatraz here in just a few. But to finish up the Elon Musk Trump stuff, you already know they had a public falling out a couple weeks ago. Elon Musk is now publicly, again, this is an obsessive human being. He's not going to let this go. He is publicly announcing that he will fund primary challengers for every Republican who votes for this bill. The bill Donald Trump is currently trying to get passed with everything he has. This is a horrible situation because neither of these men are going to let it go. They're not the type. Neither of them are the type to let it go. Trump is not going to all of a sudden say, well, I mean, I guess Elon's right. It does spend too much money. Elon Musk, he may not be the president, but he is the richest man in the world. He's not going to say, well, I mean, I guess all this debt is okay. I'm not worried about it anymore. They're not going to let it go. This wonderful partnership and friendship that was always going to be temporary has the potential to really, really blow up the party. It does. It has the potential to blow things up. It's ugly. There's nothing we can do about it. But this audio is a little rough. But when Trump is out there saying things like this,
I don't know. I think we'll have to take a look. We might have to put Doge on Elon. You know what Doge is? Doge is the monster that might have to go back and eat Elon. Wouldn't that be terrible? He gets a lot of subsidies, Peter. But Elon's very upset that the EV mandate is going to be terminated.
I know you had to listen to the jet noise, but I figured you might as well hear it from the man himself. Donald Trump, someone even asked him about deporting Elon, and he didn't say no. He said, well, we'll look into it. He's accusing Elon of only being against the bill because it eliminates his electric vehicle subsidies, which obviously would help Elon and Tesla. And that might be true, too. Look, I'm not assigning motivations to either man. They're fighting. They're going to be fighting. It's an ugly situation. It's the way it is. Can't do anything about it. Let's do some emails and move on. Look, we can't do anything about the fact it's so
heavy. It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Jesse, decided to turn your loud mouth off and put the contemporary Christian radio station on. 2 hours went by, and I didn't even notice you were gone. Might have to keep doing that. Obnoxious is as obnoxious does. Loud mouth and all. Listen. We all know you're still listening. We know you're listening right now. You know what the opposite of love is? It is not hate. This is an old saying, old wisdom, but it's so true. The opposite of love is not hate. It is indifference. Your ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband, if they are still out there on Facebook telling everybody how much they hate you, they still think about you a lot. You still stir emotions inside of them. If, however, they never talk about you, they never mention you, never think about you, well, you're nothing to them now. You took the time to write me this stupid email because you're mad about who knows what. I mean, I don't really care what you're mad about, but you're still listening. You'll send me another email tomorrow. If you were that mad about something, you wouldn't have sent an email to let me know how much you hated me and obnoxious and whatever. You would have just left. And as the saying goes, this is not an airline. You don't have to announce your departure. Move along. The show is not for everybody, not supposed to be for everybody, because if the show was for everybody, the show would be freaking boring like most other shows, and you wouldn't enjoy it at all. You're not listening to some Christian radio station. Although that would be great, by the way. Go ahead, go listen to Christian music. That's wonderful. Good for you. You're not doing that. you're listening right now and your little heart is pitter-pattering because I'm talking about your stupid email on the show. And you'll be reading, you'll be writing another email. You'll be listening today, listening tomorrow. You love the show. I make you mad and whatever. I don't really care. Jesse, how did you survive construction with your aversion to public restrooms or the Marines for that matter? A latrine is no place for weak men, nor is a port-a-john on a site. On the best days in construction, you get to go grab lunch somewhere. There's a clean bathroom, but that's a luxury. Okay, so that's a fair question. As everyone knows, I despise public restrooms because of how nasty everybody is and smells. It's horrible. Now, here's something that I noticed not only when I was in the Marines, but especially when I got out of the Marines. If I say something to the effect of, I don't like eating outside, because I don't. Everyone knows that. I don't want to fight the weather and the wind and the bugs. I want to enjoy my food in a climate-controlled environment. I don't like eating outside. Inevitably, somebody, friend, family member will say to me, what do you mean you don't like eating outside? You were in the Marines. You don't understand. I can eat outside. I've eaten outside in the mountains of Montana, Alaska, Iraq, Thailand. I've eaten outside in more places than I can possibly count. I can eat outside. That doesn't mean I want to eat outside. When I say I don't like public restrooms, I'm not the nerd throwing on rubber gloves and putting a clothespin on my nose and tiptoeing through there. I walk in and go pee and wash my hands, then dry them off like every other human being. If you saw me in one, please don't talk to me in the public restroom, by the way. We'll talk when I'm done. But if you saw me in one, you would never know I don't like being there. I can do it. I can use a port-a-john. I can use public restrooms. I just don't like it. But that's part of living life, isn't it? You have to do all kinds of crap you don't like to do. I have to explain that to my boys all the time. It's a constant reinforcement to them. Oh, well, that's not fun. Life's not fun sometimes. Sometimes life sucks. Sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do, like talk to Chris. Hey, Jesse, I believe I once heard you say dipping sauce is what makes the meal. The vessel was secondary. If so, I concur, as I've just bought a ton of different sauces for my chicken chunks, and sauce is what makes it spectacular. Look, my only point with that is this, and that's actually a Jerry Dunleavy quote. He's a great a writer. He's a friend of mine. It's a Dunleavy quote where he says, all food is just a delivery mechanism for sauce. I don't know if I'll go that far, but I will most definitely say this. The restaurant industry, this is not just fast food, this is sit-down restaurants. The restaurant industry, the people who work as servers in restaurants, they act as if the sauce is nothing, not important at all. So you get your French fries, and you ask for a side of ranch with your French fries, they will never bring it, ever. And they're always just shocked when it doesn't come, and then when you have to remind them, hey, Could you bring the ranch I asked for? Oh, sure. But then they'll saunter over to the other table and check in, and they'll fill up the water. And, you know, 15 minutes later after your food's already cold, then they'll bring it to you as if it's the least important thing in the world. That's insanity. Condiments are everything. Now let's get back to talking about Tom Holman, Alligator Alcatraz, and so much more. Before we talk about that, let's give you something for free. That's what Hillsdale College does. They give out wisdom for free. There are not many things that are free out there that are worth anything. Everybody knows about Hillsdale College. How long has Hillsdale College been churning out pamphlets and other things teaching us about the basics? Hillsdale College, for as long as I've been involved in politics, they have been giving the right a base of knowledge about everything. The Constitution or capitalism or maybe the Bible or Roman history. They've been built. You could just exist on Hillsdale's free wisdom. And they have online courses, more than 40 of them, at no cost. If you go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse and enroll, you can enjoy them on your phone, computer, whatever, smart TV, no cost to you whatsoever. Why wouldn't you pounce on that? Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, the wonderful Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, that's enough of Trump fighting with somebody. Let's talk about Trump getting along with somebody he used to fight with. You see, Ron DeSantis has been an incredible governor for the state of Florida. Really, he's been great for the country because he's been so good, he's shamed other Republican governors into actually doing good things. He also created this place known as Alligator Alcatraz. That's what they're calling it now. It's a detention center for illegals. And Trump is very, very pleased with the whole thing. He flew down there, did a big show of it. He's on camera talking about, hey, you don't want to escape. It is really cool to look
at. It's known as Alligator Alcatraz, which is very appropriate because I looked outside and it's not a place I want to go hiking anytime soon.
That's a good thing. Why'd DeSantis do it? Here was Trump.
And on January 20th, I signed an executive order empowering governors and state police to be deputized to enforce federal immigration laws. And Ron's already taken advantage of it. It's a tremendous advantage for the states. Most of them are doing it. Actually, the blue states tend not to do it. Even a couple of them have, though. And I want to express my tremendous thanks to the state of Florida for embracing this opportunity and being a true partner. They've worked so well with the federal government. It's been just a beautiful, beautiful partnership. So,
isn't that nice to hear? Isn't it nice to hear after that nasty primary? You know, primaries are always nasty. It's family infighting, so it's always personal. Turn friend against friend, brother against brother. It's nice to hear stuff like this.
I think it's a 10. Maybe 9-9.
He's describing his relationship with Ron DeSantis, by the way.
I think it's a 10. Maybe 9-9, because there might be a couple of little wounds. So maybe it's 9-9. I think we have a 10. We get along great.
That's nice. This is nice.
So well with the federal government. It's been just a beautiful, beautiful partnership. So, Ron, I'd like to thank you personally. You are my friend, and you'll always be my friend. And we may have some skirmishes even in the future. I doubt it, but I will always come back because we have blood that seems to match pretty well. We have a relationship that's been a very strong one for a long period of time, and I appreciate it.
That is good. Remember how nasty that primary got? Maybe you even lost friends during that primary. Maybe you were Team DeSantis or Team Trump, and you spent your time fighting with the others. That's a good thing. And it's a good thing that they're coming together for the shared purpose of getting illegals out of this country. I have never in my life seen the GOP this committed to stopping illegal immigration. I have wanted it forever. And look, the big bill, which, you know, I've made my thoughts on it well known, but the big bill, it increases ICE's budget. If we have to give it credit for something, it increases ICE's budget from $2 billion to something like $45 billion. It's hard to read the text on it. I keep getting different words, but it's a massive increase in ICE's budget, a massive increase in deportations. That's a good thing. It's an incredible thing for this country because Democrats spent 4 years bringing in these monsters.
The other day I was talking to some marshals that have been partnering with ICE. They said that they had detained a cannibal and put him on a plane to take him home. And while they had him in his seat, he started to eat himself. And they had to get him off and get him medical attention. These are the kind of deranged individuals that are on our streets in America that we're trying to target and get out of our country because they are so deranged they don't belong here.
I bet I could eat myself. What, Chris? I'm talking about in a starvation scenario. I bet I would taste pretty good too. It would have to be, you know, you would think a leg because that's going to have more meat on it. You're going to get more nutrition from a leg. A butt would probably have the most flavor if you're thinking about it, because that's where the fat is. You know, fat equals flavor. It's why a ribeye is such a good cut of steak. Fat equals flavor. So you would think a leg, but if you're eating yourself, you're going to have to be pretty desperate, and you need your legs. Your legs are more important. It might have to be a forearm. I think I could eat my forearm. Chris, do you think you could eat your forearm if you were desperate enough? Huh? You don't think you could eat your forearm? Why not? It's too big. You don't have to eat it all at once. You don't have to Kamala the whole thing down. I'm talking about taking a chunk or two out of your forearm in order to survive. Now, obviously, you need to be careful, because if you bite too deep, then you've probably taken, there's got to be a lot of important blood vessels and things like that in there. So if you bite too deep, you can't say you'd rather die, Chris. We're talking about a survival. Where's your survival instinct? Where's your survival instinct? Don't say you'd rather die. You might have to eat your forearm. I'm telling you, I could eat myself. And I'm telling you this, I'd be delicious. And I'm also telling you the Democrats are friggin' evil.
And I just can't believe we're in a place where, you know, a TV network like CNN is talking about this app and educating people on the existence of this app. And this app is going to give the bad guy heads up that we're coming, which means more bad guys are going to escape arrest, which makes this country less safe, which is a public safety issue. It's a matter of time before someone uses this app and ambushes ICE officers. This is something we cannot tolerate, we can't stand for, so we're calling them out. And I'm begging the Department of Justice to look into this and hold people accountable. This puts ICE officers at great risk.
Democrats brought monsters into the country on purpose. A monster who's already in the country created an app so ICE can be tracked, so the demons can escape. And CNN basically advertised the app, talked about the app on national television. We have a bunch of treasonous snakes in this country. And yes, I know the name of the app, and no, I'm not going to say the name. I don't want to encourage any of that, but golly. Anyway, let's talk about new voters who seem to always be found when a communist gets elected. Let's talk about credit scores. Let's talk about so much, the world of make-believe, emails, failing Hollywood, and so much more in the final hour. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.